Agents of Smooch. We are celebrating our second anniversary on February 14, and we wanted to do something fun to celebrate. Last year, we gathered a group of agents to script our own romance movie, which quickly turned into a romantic jewel heist, International Waters. This year, we are running two sessions of the romantic role-playing game, Warmer in Winter, from Will Lentz. Some of our agents are well-versed in the world of RPG, and a few are brand new. But what we all know is romance. I am director Annette Weirstra, and today I am the matchmaker. I am joined by four agents for our first romantic RPG, starting with Agent Heather Berberet.
Hello! Thanks for having me.
Tell us, who are you playing today?
Sure. So I'm playing a character named Jack, not Jackie, Lasham, who is the local biology teacher at the high school, and also a cryptozoologist who is particularly focused on Bigfoot.
This is going to be fun, I can tell already. We also have playing with us Agent Riley Silverman. Hey, Riley.
Hello, how are you today?
I am really excited, actually.
I am too. This is going to be really fun.
So who is your character?
I am playing Ellie. And she's using the Elder playbook. And one of the things on it is Widow. So the idea that I have for Ellie is that she's a lesbian, but she was married to a man when she was very young. And he passed away. And they opened a little bookstore, bakery, coffee shop kind of thing together. He passed away. After he was gone, she's on her own for the first time. She realized that she was gay. And now she's kind of like older in life and like trying to like figure out this like new lifestyle of hers based on like understanding herself better. And that's who she is.
Excellent. And we also have with us Agent Julia Scott, who is visiting us from her Chick Flick Fix podcast, also on The Incomparable and also super romantic.
Yeah. And I also used to have a podcast about romance novels. So I'm all in on this.
You are ready.
I am ready.
Tell us about your character.
I am Ruby Vermilion. I am the busybody. I own an antique store called Ruby's Jewels and Treasures, where, you know, people tend to congregate. It's on the main square. It has actual treasures and lots of small crap for people to come in and pretend to want to buy.
Excellent. And last but not least, we have Agent Katie Beth Schmidt.
Hello.
Who are you playing?
My character is the bestie, and her name is Amelia, and she works in a greeting card store that sells perhaps love cards for people who are looking for that sort of thing.
The perfect place to get ready for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We are going to start playing right now. The camera rolls in over the small and quaint town of Hopewell Springs. Although they are trying to convince us that this is somewhere in the U.S., experienced romance movie viewers will recognize the area as somewhere near Vancouver. The weather is cool but bright and gently snowing on the town, and we roll through the streets to the Cafe Angelica for the start of our romantic adventure. So our Cafe Angelica is the local coffee shop where a lot of people gather. It is not far from the city hall, so people come as they come downtown. It is often the destination for breakfast and smells great with a lot of pastries and a coffee. And it also can be used for evening gatherings, romantic and otherwise. You're going to come here and run into many people you know from our little town. And in this cafe, we have collected all of our characters. Who would like to start telling us what they're doing right now in our little cafe?
Well, I am walking back and forth to the counter pretending to need sugar or a clean spoon because I need to make sure what's going on in each of the booths.
The owner of the cafe, Alan, not Angelica, notices that you are doing this and kind of is rolling his eyes a little bit at you. Like, mm-hmm.
I wink at him because we both know. Do you want me to perform an action?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
I would like to give someone a gift, and I think I would like to give Jack a gift because I found a very old poster for a Bigfoot exhibit from our town. Do you want me to roll?
Yes.
All right. So I rolled an 8. That is it. I rolled an 8, which means that you name a cost and I have to accept it or not.
So your cost to give this gift is that you actually have to sit down and chat with Jack, probably about Bigfoot.
Awesome. So I'm thinking that this will help Jack because Jack will find something on this poster to trigger her to look into something that she's missed before. I have 2 heartstrings to Jack, so that makes it a 10, and that's a 12. That means that they see the fascinating thing on the poster, right?
Jack, you have received this lovely vintage poster about Bigfoot. What might you notice? And you can now talk with, you two can talk together.
So, Julia, and you, I was looking at possible moves, and you said, I discover something about the poster that what?
That makes you want to go down maybe a new route of investigation or inquiry, or just like maybe trigger something in your brain that you're like, wait, this reminds me of something.
Okay, so that
you're almost on the like, oh my God, I have to storm out of the diner and go to the records hall or something. Like you, it triggers something in you is what I'm thinking.
Great. So you give me this poster and oh my God, thank you so much. You said you were going to get this for me and I wasn't really sure if you were able to, but you got it. I'm so excited. Let me buy you a cup of coffee. I want to sit down and look at this right now. Have you examined this poster yet? What do you see on it?
Well, I'm not as fascinated by all of this as you are, though I try to be, you know, nice about it. So I've only noticed that it's in decent condition. It has a few cracks around the edges, but most of it is in really good condition. I carefully scoot your coffee mug on its platter to the inside edge against the wall of the table because I know that you might otherwise accidentally antique this poster a little extra with your coffee.
As I'm flailing around and perhaps spill my coffee on the poster, and I don't even notice that you've done that. I'm just so into the poster and I, you know, the only reason you could possibly give me a poster like this would be because you were also into Bigfoot. There could be no ulterior other motives. So I take a look at the poster. And one of the things I see is that in the background, there is this little edge of what could be a little building. And I know the woods like the back of my hand because I've got a lean-to out there that I spend a lot more time in than I do in my apartment. I mean, I've never seen this little possible building out there. So, you know, I've got to go explore it. But I've got class because I have to teach in a half hour at the high school, which is right next to Cafe Angelica. So I have to, you know, I roll it up. I thank you so much. And I dash out because it's time. I got to go teach.
You are taking off. So when you take off, roll with quirk, which is one of your specialties, and see if you can get out the door.
So I got a 3.
As you're gathering up your stuff, you do spill your coffee on that antique poster.
Well, it's actually a 5 because I add 2 to that. Is okay. That correct? Because I rolled with quirk. That's fine. That still.
So you only six. you don't like wash it. It just like partially gets a little coffee on your poster.
And I swear. And of course, it spills right where that little bit of structure is in the picture. So I dab it frantically. And I'm so upset. I don't even say thank you to Ruby. I just
and without her, she doesn't even almost notice or register the fact that she's dabbing it with the antique handkerchief that I pulled out of my bosom and gave to her to save the poster.
I don't. I just dab and I dab and I just put it in the pile with the dirty napkins and off I go because I'm just so excited and now I'm frustrated because I've ruined the new hint on the poster.
Jack has disappeared to go off to teach class. What are Ellie and Amelia up to?
Ellie is in the kitchen of Cafe Angelica, and I think she has just delivered today's pastries to Alan. I think that Alan is a garbage baker himself, and so he has given up on trying to serve his own original pastries at the cafe. So I think that he has subcontracted Sinfully Sweet to make a good daily variety. The same way, like, if you go to, like, a lot of, like, towns that'll have a, like, kind of established bakery and as a coffee shop, a lot of times you'll see that, like, the label on the pastries at the coffee shop are from, like, that nearby bakery. And I think that is what's happening here. Sinfully Sweet sells, like, wholesale pastries to Cafe Angelica, and then they resell them to customers in the cafe.
And they probably also make excellent bread.
We make for sandwiches. Bread. Yeah, we actually make a few loaves every day. So, like, we make a really good, like loaf that's designed almost like a French toast loaf, and then it's used to make really good, like breakfast sandwiches that are, like, pretty well known at Cafe Angelica. And a lot of people don't know their secret weapon is actually bread that's made by Sinfully Sweet. So
Alan takes your order sort of surreptitiously because he doesn't love the fact that he has to take your baking, but he does acknowledge that it is better than his.
It's a deal that my husband and him set up long ago, and I'm still honoring it, so it's great. Well, I believe that is today's order, so I'm going to go actually have a cup of coffee, I think.
Alan gives you a very nice coffee, your usual order, for free as part of the deal. You always get a free coffee.
Oh, I would hope so. thank you. And I go sit down at a table, and I kind of, like, I think I'm, like, ready. I have to get up pretty early in the morning to make the bread and stuff. So I'm kind of, like, glad to have my first moment of peace to myself for the day, because it's been pretty chaotic and flowery and stuff like that. I don't do as much of the early morning bakery as I used to. I think I have, like, people who work in my shop, but I think I still have to be the one, like, makes delivery and stuff. So I'm still getting up for that.
Smart. Good management. And what is Amelia doing?
I am waiting in line for a cup of coffee. Do I want coffee or do I want tea? I think I would like tea. I think that Cafe Angelica has some really delicious, like, gonna hit you hard so you can wake up tea, because I have got to get to work and get ready to sell greeting cards to people so that they can tell the people in the town that they love each other. And I need the energy for that.
Your order is being taken by Martin, who is Alan's husband, and he is a, like, tad impatient with your indecision between coffee and tea, and sort of like, but he does make you very good strong tea that will help you get started on your day.
Good, because you need caffeine to make a decision about caffeine.
Shall we circle around back to Ruby and see what Ruby's up to after Jack has deserted her?
Ruby shakes off the last drops of coffee from Jack's now empty coffee cup and brings it up to the counter as an excuse to stand next to Amelia, because Amelia, since she works in the greeting card shop, sometimes knows things before other people do, because that's where people buy the "I'm so sorry, I was a bad boyfriend" cards and the "congratulations, you're pregnant" cards and all that kind of thing. I would like to make a move and ask who that handsome man I saw in her store the other day was, because I don't think they're from town, because I know everyone from town.
So then you would roll for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm trying to think here, because apparently I can wish upon a star, but I don't think if I want to know something specific. But okay, I'll roll. I get a 2. So I ask who the tall, dark stranger in the store was. I roll a 2. So I'm assuming that Amelia doesn't have to tell me anything.
I would also assume that.
Unless you have a +4 charm. Or +5 charm.
No, I have a +1. I have a +1 charm. But I'm assuming that also because I'm the busybody and because I have charm, all of my nosing seems kind of, everyone knows I mean well.
Oh, Ruby.
This doesn't create a negative heartstring, and they also know that I have a tendency towards matchmaking. So, you know, I want to know if Amelia has struck a new connection, if I should keep, you know, an eye out, still keep an eye out for anyone else, if I should pause my mental sort of mathematics. But if I roll a 2, then Amelia gives me nothing.
The tall, dark stranger was someone visiting a relative in town, and he's someone from the big city, and he's just here for the upcoming solstice festival, but he also thinks the town is really cute, so perhaps we'll see him again.
Oh, you're talking about Johnson's nephew, right? He has a big shot fiance in the city, doesn't he?
That's what I heard. That's why he was looking at cards.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to get to work. I should have opened up, you know, 20 minutes ago, but I love the coffee here so much. And I drop the mug on the counter and head out.
I think Amelia or Ellie, since you're still in the cafe, is there anything else you want to do in this cafe location?
I know that Ellie is off to, like, get busy with her work schedule, but I think that I am going to make a move, and the move that I'm going to make is that I, like, surreptitiously pay for Ellie's tea, because she's my friend, so I'm trying to, like, do that thing where, like, you treat your friend without, like, you kind of surprise them. I think I kind of raise my mug to Martin as a way, but, like, and, like, kind of, like, move my head towards Amelia, and that's, like, my indication to him that
it goes on your tab.
Yeah, so let me roll, make a move. So I have +1 charm, and I got a 9 +1, so I got 10. I got 6 and a 3 +1, so I got a 10. So that means that I get to choose, but I get to do both. Okay, so I get a heartstring on Amelia, and then she picks the reaction. So Amelia, you get to decide if you share an intimate moment with me, promise to do something for me, or if you get flustered and abashed.
I am going to get flustered and abashed, because I am just trying to go about my day, and now someone has done something nice for me, and I don't know how to handle it.
Oh.
What would you like to do, Amelia?
I would like to take my tea, and the tea is to go, and now I'm going to say thank you to Ellie and head out to work.
Excellent. And you are heading to your shop. Does your shop have a name?
Probably.
No pressure.
I think it's called Love to Greet Ya.
Oh, yeah.
Love to Greet Ya. Yes.
Can it be the little shop that's between the Simply Suite and Ruby's Treasures and Jewels?
Yes, I was just going to suggest that same thing. It's like, it's also on the park, and all three of you have stores right next to each other.
And we pop into each other to get, like, receipt paper or ask completely innocuous questions and suggest completely innocuous things.
Mm-hmm. And this is why you know who's in my shop.
No, there's a reason that my register is right at the front of the store, right by the windows.
Let's go around to Jack now, who is teaching her class in high school.
Very distracted. Kind of all I can think about is getting back out into the woods. But you know, I have a full day, and I'm so distracted that I decide to take a walk at my very short lunch break. And I walk down to Ruby's Jewels just to kind of look in the window. And I see in the window that she's got brand new some Bigfoot paraphernalia. She's got, like, these pendants, these little charms that have, like, footprints on them. So, you know, I have to go in because I hadn't seen these before. And I just saw her this morning. She didn't tell me she had these in. And they may not be Bigfoot footprints, but they're, you know, they're footprints.
There's only one set of footprints, because that's when Bigfoot carried you.
I love it.
Oh my god, that's so good. Yes, so you tell me that, right? We come up and I'm like, oh, when did you get these? You didn't mention these this morning. These are beautiful. Are these Bigfoot footprints?
And I say, they're any prints you want, sweetie, but I'm sure that for you they would hold that meaning. I have this one in particular that I've set on a little plate of crystals, and it's been sitting there for the night.
Well, yeah. Why would you put it on a plate of crystals?
Just to make sure that it has good vibes for a special someone who needs it. to buy it so that it can hold meaning and be pure and imbued with that person's meaning right when they buy it.
Oh.
No reason.
Really interesting. So do I roll to see if I buy the necklace? Or it's my move and I just decide?
I think you could decide that and still take an action after that.
Okay.
Just sort of responding to the... It's harder to know what a move is when we're not like just whacking people with swords and axes.
I think the question is, do you want there to be a benefit to you as far as heartstrings with Ruby from this? And if so, then you would roll, make a move.
Yeah. Maybe I could wear it tonight. I was going to go out and do some more hunting tonight, and maybe it will draw, you know, Sasquatch to me, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of thought out there in the literature that they're also psychic. And so if we're viewing this, you know, pendant, then absolutely. I mean, I'll take any edge I can get. That's awesome. Totally. Wrap it up for me.
It's important to, you know, set your intentions and have something to focus them on. I wrap them in my favorite rainbow color tissue paper. And I say, it's on me.
Well, Ruby, look, I got to thank you somehow. Would you like to come out with me tonight when I take a look around and see what's out there? Can I make that my move?
Yeah.
Invite Ruby out with me. Okay. So I get a 4, and I am a that's quirk and charm for me. So it's a +1. So it's a 5.
Okay. So I think,
can I roll to see if I come up with an excuse or not? And if I can't, then she gets that role.
I think this gives you the ability to not say yes, right? Because she did not succeed in making a move. So this would be you getting to make an excuse.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It looks like if you use the turn them down role, then you have a chance to do some an effect on them too.
I don't want to do that. So I say I would love to. But I have to do inventory tonight, and I just got in a big shipment of old creepy dolls. But rain check, or whatever cryptozoologists say instead of rain check.
Yeah, okay, maybe another time. It'd be nice to have someone out there, because I'm often out there alone, because, you know, this is late night stuff, and... You know, so yeah, I love a rain check. Maybe I'll come by tomorrow and see if you're free.
Yeah, and you can feel free to FaceTime me if you're bored. I'm going to be up pretty late with the inventory.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll stop by on my way out. I go out kind of late, like 10:30-ish.
Yeah, and you know, I live above the store, so if you knock on the door, I'll hear it up there.
I could do the whole rocks in the window thing. You know, throw
sure,
the rocks.
At... Sure, I have double glazing, so it should be fine.
I mean, people do that, right? They throw pebbles at windows. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I've just seen that in the movies. I don't really know.
I think people text.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll text you then. So I kind of walk away, feeling strangely a little disheartened for reasons I don't quite understand. And I've got to go because it's, you know, I've got to go teach. So. I shuffle up back to the school.
Ruby, what are you going to do with this situation?
No, I'm going to take my little platter of crystals and take them to the back of the store and quickly just go outside and set them in the inner courtyard that's behind that I share with the other two stores so that they can recharge outside. And then I go to the front of the store and make sure to stick an extra piece of tape on the Bigfoot poster that Jack has put in my window for people. And then I consider if I should take it down so that people won't actually message her about it, because then maybe someone else would go out into the woods with her. But I decided that would be mean. So I make sure that the poster is visible to people walking by.
Do you want to do anything to take an action or make a move?
Well, it's not my role. it's Jack's. I'm only a reactor.
But I think now Jack has left, so you are alone in the store, so it's your turn now is what I'm thinking.
I go out and go into the greeting card shop and talk to and wave at Amelia, which makes it Amelia's turn.
Hello. Welcome to the greeting card store. Love to.
This feels like an episode of Seinfeld where you kind of regret naming the store that because now you have to say it that way every time.
Nope. Saying it this way forever. Really proud of this store name. Thank you for that. What is Ruby doing in the store other than just visiting? Are you looking for anything in particular? Can I help you to some Victorian greeting cards that might have been used by like ghost children?
Oh, do you have any?
I have some that are designed that might be similar in concept, even though they're not actually antique.
Ooh, I would love to see them.
Okay, I can show you that.
Do you want to make a move in any direction?
Sure.
Or are you just shipping now and you're just confused?
Because it's my turn. I get to do the thing.
It is. You can do a thing. You can make any of those things. So,
and I'm trying to be polite and not be like, these are all my puppets and I'm just having this little romance in my head. I'm trying to be calm.
Can I make a move in a like being a busybody kind of way? Even though I'm not a busybody?
Yeah, sure.
I am going to recommend some greeting cards that might have a Bigfoot style creature on them, because perhaps I've noticed that you might like someone who might be curious about Bigfoot. And I'm just going to say, hey, these are new. And maybe you think they're neat and maybe you need one.
They are very cute, though I tend to prefer the very creepy ones that are sort of threatening and have dead animals on them. But I might buy one. Do you have any lavender envelopes?
Yes, I do. Okay. I have rolled a 10.
Ooh.
Then I would love this creepy card, even though it does not have quite enough creep for my taste in Victorian cards or any vaguely threatening messages.
And Katie Beth, you get a heart string with Ruby.
Thank you. And thank you for supporting my small business. The card is blank, so you can add your own creepy message if you want.
Mm-hmm. I tee-hee-hee in a... Also, I'm not quite sure why it made me happy to buy the Bigfoot card, but I wave goodbye and tell her I'll check in again when it's lunchtime to see if she wants me to grab anything for her, because normally the greeting card store is more busy around lunchtime, because that's when everyone realizes what they've forgotten, and the antique store is calmer. So I usually bring her lunch. So I tee-hee-hee and go back to my store.
So shall we go check in on Ellie and what Ellie is up to in her Sinfully Sweet bookstore bakery?
I think Ellie has wandered over to the greeting card shop on her lunch break. And I think that she has a book that she's bringing over. And it's a book that she found that is of like classic. It's like an art of greeting cards kind of book. It's like celebrating greeting cards as an art form. And she comes in and she says to Amelia, she's like, I found this while I was setting up books for the Solstice Festival. I was looking for things that were on theme for the holiday. And I thought of you. And so I brought this over. I thought it would, you know, even though you don't sell a lot of books here, I thought it would liven up the shop, or maybe you would want to look at it. And I just, it's been a while since I've perused your inventory. So I thought I would just take a gander.
Are you making a move?
I think what she'll say is like, do you have any cards that are like, have you ever read about Emily Dickinson and her neighbor? Anyway, do you have any cards that are expressing affection between, and I think she's trying to ask
between
if
roommates?
They have, yeah, against gal pals. I just find that like, you know, cards can say so much about interest and affection, but they can be so old-fashioned, you know? So I just wondered, do any of your cards have, like, let's say, like, a lady had an attraction to another lady. Do you have any cards for those? So this is, like, her shyly, like, testing the waters a little bit. So I will roll.
Deep friendship cards.
Yeah, do you have any, like, yeah, do you have any cards to just express, like, a really deep, friendly connection between two women?
Roll.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Ellie is charming as hell somehow. Despite that despite that mumble mouth, I just rolled a 12. I rolled an 11 plus 1. Yeah, so I get another heartstring on you, which is great. And then also, you get to pick one of those three reactions that you react to with that.
Sorry, I'm looking at the reaction page. I'm going to share a moment with you and show you to my array of cards that could be used for indicating that a friendship is more than a friendship, that are not always gender specific. So any person could use them for any other person. And I'll let you have a look at those.
Great. So, yeah, that's my move. I like look at them and I like spend a little bit of time reading through them and looking for a good card.
They're in a section of the store called Hope is a Thing with Feathered Boas.
So while you are browsing over there, Martin comes in carrying a lunch for Amelia that is from Ruby, as she promised she would have lunch delivered, but she didn't bring it herself. Martin comes in and he's looking a little upset about something. So he gives you your lunch, Amelia. Chat with Marvin.
I'll let Amelia go first and then I'll wander up as she's talking to him.
I am going to thank him for delivery and ask him why he's looking upset if he wants to talk about it.
He's like, yeah, I just discovered that someone is trying to shut down our winter solstice festival and I don't know what to do about it. I can't figure out exactly what's happening, but I think it has to do with the new mayor is trying to prevent the permitting from going ahead and might not let us have our annual winter solstice festival that has been going on for 100 years. I just don't know what to do. It brings so many people here and, you know, it's so important to our town. What are we going to do if we can't get our winter solstice festival going? It's the end of everything, really.
Well, that is simply unacceptable, I say, walking up.
I know. I just don't know what to do. Like, what do you think we should do about it? And, you know, he just sort of, I have to go talk to Alan. I got to go back. So he goes and leaves the cafe and goes back to work.
I think we should picket the mayor's office at City Hall on our lunch break. After our lunch break is over and our shops have calmed down from the people who are getting lunch, we're going to go because the mayor's going to be back to his office. We're going to cause a ruckus. And perhaps we can also get the high school students involved if we call our friend Jack.
Oh, so I have a move on my sheet that's when someone tugs a heartstring to you to ask you to do something for them, and I accept, I can do something. So that's something that's fun. I guess that's not unless you make me do something that I can. But
that technically could be a move.
This sounds very important to you, so I would be happy to help out. So then, yeah, I think you can use a heartstring on me to try to get me to help you.
Great.
So instead of marking experience, I can choose these two. So I can choose one. So I can take one forward towards completing the task. I can clear a status. I can mark experience, or I can heal a hurt. So I'll mark an experience so I can maybe use that later. And then I will also choose a plus one. So later on when we do this, I'll have a plus one on whatever we do for this this move.
Does that make it my turn, or is it still Ellie's turn?
I think that can be my turn. I'm fine with that. I'm offering to help Amelia.
Because I hear the upset tones and come in. I got caught up in stuff in the store. And I ask, what's the upset about? And I get some sort of response telling me what the upset is about.
Everybody's nodding.
And I get a little more upset than maybe is logical, and I say, but it's really, really important that we have the winter solstice, and it's really, really important that we do the pageant through town that ends up at the old well right at the city limits. It's really, really important that we do that every year.
Why is there some reason that this particular I'm gonna make a move on you. I'm going to try to figure out, like, oh, is there, do you have particular plans in mind for something that's going to happen at the old well? And this is me trying to, like, ship Ellie and Ruby and Jack to see if, like, there's a reason why. So I'm going to roll charm on you. Wow, I'm rolling great. I just rolled an 11. So you have your, I get a heart string on you. And then also you get to tell me, you get to decide one of those three reactions.
Riley, your dice are beginning to be questionable.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm a little bit surprised.
Don't worry, they will start to fail suddenly and with great energy.
So I get a little bit flustered, but it doesn't look like it's a romantic flustering. So I said, no, there's no reason. It's just, it's a very important tradition, and we can't stop doing it, because traditions are very important. And I want to make a move on Ellie to, because she's already agreed to help, right?
Yeah, I agreed to help Amelia, yeah.
I make a move to distract them from what I'm talking about, because I realized that Ellie's charms made me say more than I'd meant to say. And I roll to get them both to come with me to City Hall. Or, no, we go to the high school. We go to the high school to get Jack and the teenagers.
Oh, good idea.
Can I? So I roll. I get a 7 plus, I'm assuming, charm and spirit, maybe?
It's for charm is the make move.
Okay, then I have an 8. And I say, we need to go to the school to get the teenagers, because the teenagers love... they love the winter solstice, and it's important for our traditions to continue, and we want to make sure that they understand why this is important, and also they'll fill out numbers if we want to pick it, but the lunch break is almost over, so we have to go now.
Okay, since I've already promised to do it, I will give you a heartstring, so you have a heartstring on me now, because mm-hmm. I feel like it's cheating to be like, yes, I will promise to help out with a thing that I already promised my other friend that I'll help out with. So yeah, I will give you the heartstring on me for the 8.
Okay.
Okay. So then I assume you all go over to the high school.
And none of us lock our doors, because it's a small town, and we know that if anybody wants anything, they'll leave the money in the little bowl.
Already established I have employees, so they're working at my shop. I think that Ellie is semi-retired and kind of just keeping the shop going as a hobby at this point for herself. Like,
also, if you're doing movie jobs, you can leave whenever it is convenient for the story, and you have no repercussions for your work unless it is narratively important.
My character is described as retired, so I do kind of think this shop is something that she and her husband like built together as like a thing to like do in their retirement before he passed away. So I think this is like that for her. I think she has like no like, yeah.
Okay, so you pull up to the high school. It is nearing the end of the day, but not quite. And what are you going to all do?
I'm going to throw a pebble at the window of the science room.
Love this so much.
Should I roll to see if I hit the window, break the window, or miss the window?
I feel that yes. Let's roll. Say, yeah, do it.
I roll a 7. Can I add my bold to it?
Yes.
Then I get an 8.
I will say that your rock hits beautifully and just the right amount of noise without like cracking or injuring the window, and Jack does indeed hear these pebbles on her window in the middle of a nice biology lesson.
So Jack's turn?
Yeah, so Jack comes to the window and looks down and sees you all and is very confused and is in the middle of, you know, like there's like 5 minutes left in class. So Jack holds up her watch and says, you know, taps at it like, give me 5 and I'll meet you downstairs, she says. Right, so you guys go and hang out on the front stoop of the high school, and Jack comes down and she's very perplexed because this has never happened before, and says, what is something wrong? What are you all doing here?
Well, the mayor is threatening to cancel the winter solstice festival. And I was wondering, A, if you know if it's because any of the parents at the school have complained, and B, we need to stop it. And we were hoping you could help us.
Thank God, do you know how many letters I've written him telling him we have to get rid of this winter solstice thing? I mean, talk about scaring away Bigfoot. I mean, hundreds of people come out into the town square in their cars, and they're noisy, and they leave garbage everywhere. I mean, it is prime spotting season, and it's the worst possible thing for the town. Thank you for bringing me this good news. I am so excited.
I sit down, try to sit down on a bench and fall next to it because I missed where it was. It makes a comical boing noise when I land on my butt.
And I come over and I'm like, oh, are you okay? Gosh, here, let me help you back up. Gosh, did that look like that hurt? Do you need to go see the chiropractor?
No, I believe in proof-based science. Thank you. But I have to go do a thing. I have to a thing with bye, and I run off as sort of quickly as I can without actually running, so that it seems like I'm walking supernatural, not gosh, supernatural, she must've... supernaturally. Very naturally.
She must have been really hurt that she just took off, I say.
Do you think that would be like Jack posing a problem to
I think it would be a
Ruby?
turn them down? Because again, I think posing a problem is when you're affecting their role. So they have to be doing a thing.
Okay, so I roll then, yeah? So if I turn them down, I got a 6 plus 1, which is a 7. So I have to choose one up, and they give you a status. So I gain a heartstring to them, and you may take off. That seemed to be what you wanted to do, Ruby.
Can I give her the status by texting Amelia to say, I don't know what to do because I don't want to scare off Bigfoot, but she's a little... I'm trying to think what would be a good status here. Could the status be... heart is in the right place. Can I give Jack that status? Sure.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a nice status.
I text Amelia to say that, sorry, I don't know what to do. Jack's heart is in the right place, but we can't let the winter solstice celebration be canceled. We just can't.
And I do a let them have it at Jack.
Yeah.
Because Jack doesn't realize that Ruby's feelings are really hurt and I'm upset for my friend. And secretly, I've noticed that Ruby really likes Jack, and I am quite concerned that this is going to derail the whole thing. And I was hoping that it was going to have a nice positive outcome.
Roll with bold.
I'm going to give a gift to Amelia, but to help her roll before she rolls. So okay. I have 3 heartstrings on Amelia, so I'm going to give the gift of saying, this was really important to Ruby. And then that will add, let me roll and see how well that works. Okay, so I rolled an 8 plus my 3. So I figured that one would go pretty well. So yes. Now you will get plus 2 to your roll.
Okay, so I'm rolling and I have rolled an 8. And do we say, is this
plus your bold?
Plus my bold. Yep. So that's plus 1. So that's 9.
And then plus the 2 from Ellie.
So that's 11.
You hurt them. And Jack is going to choke up with emotion. Do you want to give your speech for our listening pleasure or displeasure, depending on how we feel?
I am going to say that I'm going to say that Ruby is really hurt because she was hoping that Jack would help us. And the Winter Solstice Festival means so much to Ruby. And it's really important for everybody in town, for the small businesses too. But also, it's really important to her as a person. And she seemed to be really fixated on the fancy parade that happens in the festival. And we want to make sure that whatever she was hoping for still gets to happen. And so we were hoping that we could get her support. And she's really worried about Bigfoot too, but she's also worried about the continuation of the businesses. And the town staying afloat because the town's already sunk a lot of money into it. And the mayor's making some really poor choices, quite frankly. I mean, that's a whole thing, but like, you know, voted for this guy, honestly. But yeah, like just really worried about Ruby and hoping that, you know, maybe Jack can find it in her heart to help Ruby. And hopefully we can figure out a way to keep Bigfoot from being upset by this whole thing. Sorry to laugh about Bigfoot. Laugh about Bigfoot in this.
We don't laugh about Bigfoot.
We don't. This Bigfoot is serious business.
Bigfoot is real. In this game.
In this house, we believe in Bigfoot.
Well, we don't know if it's real or not. We haven't, yeah.
Do I get to roll on standing firm?
Yes, but I'm going to say that she rolled an 11. You do get choked up with emotion, and you are feeling two hearts worth of hurt because that took a lot. But then you're welcome to roll and stand firm.
Jack says that she didn't know anything about any of that, and how was she supposed to know that this was just so important to Ruby? And you know, she's the only one that protects these creatures, and you know, she does understand that there are other needs in the town, but she's really the only person that stands up, and you all have each other. And, you know, it's just Jack and the Sasquatch in the woods alone, and maybe there's a way, but Jack can't give up. I can't give up what my role is here for them. I couldn't live with myself. So I'm so sorry. And she's quite flustered and very upset and feels very alone. And like the little belongingness of today has been ripped away from her. And now she's afraid that Ruby won't ever come out to the woods with her or anyone else for that matter. And she'll just be there alone, her and Bigfoot. So she stands firm. So she rolls with control. And I think with... Okay.
Yep, that was correct.
Yep. So I get a 9 plus 1, so a 10, plus it's about Bigfoot, so that would be 11.
Okay, so you stand firm, and now you get to ask me about this, and you can ask me a question about this situation, and I will...
Well, so is the winter solstice going to move forward, or is the mayor going to... cave to the demands of the righteous people?
I think that in reality, the mayor has not decided, and this was a rumor that was going around, started by someone in the cafe, and that Martin has been premature in making a decision, like to spreading that rumor further. So the mayor has been receiving your letters and considering the letters of you and a few people who don't like the winter solstice, but is this rumor has been exaggerated.
I take a plus 1 forward to act on it. What does that mean?
That means that later on, if you're going to roll something that's involving this situation, you'll get a plus 1 on a roll for that.
Okay. So, okay. So this is like inspiration sort of on this particular situation.
Yeah. Like I got a plus 1 forward earlier to help Amelia fight the mayor on this tip, just because I told her I'd help her. And so now I have a plus 1 on that.
Okay. So does that mean you just get to pick? Oh, it's just if it's about this winter solstice issue, I get a plus 1. Okay.
To act on that information. Basically, to act on the information you have, you get a plus 1.
So basically, canceling the solstice is on the table, but it is not as definitive as you would hope it is.
Okay. Jack realizes that maybe this isn't true, and she heads, runs, chases after Ruby to try to talk to her about this. So Ruby's made it back to the store, and I don't know where Amelia and Ellie are, but
Jack, we were right there.
I leave you, and I run off, and I run down the street full of emotion, and run down, and I barge into Ruby's jewels and treasures, but she's not there. So I just am so worried that this one person that maybe was going to be my friend is not there. So I go around. I remember she lives upstairs. So I go around and I find some pebbles and I throw them at the window Do I roll about that?
Yeah, roll about that. We'll roll, see how good at your pebble throwing is.
Pebble rolls. Oh, because my dice are loaded in the opposite direction as Riley's, so I got a 5.
Aww. You break the window with the pebble.
Yeah, you in your enthusiasm, you choose a pebble that is actually a rock and crack her window.
Not a very good science
team. Damn it.
Yeah. I'm imagining that a 2 would be like, you throw another pebble and it hits me in the head as I open the window. So I'm glad it wasn't a 2.
I like, by the way, that the science teacher is the one who asked for a chiropractor, and Ruby, who wants to be a witch, is the one that turned down the science teacher based on wanting science-based evidence for...
I never said I wanted to be a witch.
Well, in my defense, I'm a biologist, not a geologist, so what do I know about rocks?
Fair.
All right, I open my window. It sticks a little bit, but I open it, and then I say, "You broke my window."
I know. I got your attention. That was the point. I'm sorry. I'll pay for your window. But Ruby, we have to talk about this. I didn't know that it was so important to you. But the Sasquatch are the Bigfoot are important too. And can't we kind of find a way to work this out?
I lean my elbows on my window pane. You can tell by my face that I can't be mad at Jack for very long because she did come to talk to me. So I say, I'll come, I'll be right down. I close the window and all of the glass falls down without hitting anybody as I slam it a little bit too hard. And I come down into the store where the door is still open and come out onto the sidewalk.
So I'm really sorry about your window. I'm kind of handy, so I can come over and fix that later for you.
Oh, I don't have any tools to fix it.
I have tools. I'm kind of handy.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, that would be. Wait. No. This isn't what we're supposed to be talking about. That's not the point. You can't.
Okay.
You can't. You can't cancel a winter solstice festival. It's important to me. I mean, to the town. I mean, to me, it's. I roll some sort of move about either convincing or shutting up. So I roll and I get a 9. And I am not sure, but I'm thinking I am adding charm here, not control, because I don't want to actually convince her. I just don't know what to do in this situation. So I roll a 10.
Which means what?
I don't know. Annette decides what that means.
Yeah, I think you're making a move because you're not... You're sort of making a move to convince them. And mm-hmm. So let's call it that. So which means if you got a heartstring to them and you're rolling with charm and Jack can choose one of the 3 reactions or her reaction.
Okay. Okay. So I say, what about if we, you know, more and more towns are doing like car free inner cities, I'm assuming Main Street. What yes. if we try to make this winter solstice a car-free one? We do like a green winter solstice, since we never get snow anyway. We never, ever get snow. It never snows. It hasn't snowed in 100 years here, which is sad because, you know, snow is romantic. So what about if we try doing a green winter solstice and we make sure that people park in the next town over? We can set up one of those little weird, like, trolley... Over. in Springfield, and we can do a little like horse and buggy carts over from the parking lot, and then we can the guy who owns the horses in this town will also make money, and then we can have like somebody who sits in the weird hayride and sells hot chocolate, but it would be good for the town, and we wouldn't scare Bigfeet off. Would that be better? Would you maybe tell the mayor that you're not against the winter solstice festival as such? And this is where I roll a 10.
Well, I see this as just much more important to you than I thought it was. And those are all good suggestions. Do you think we could like maybe cordon off the woods, you know, so nobody could go there? And maybe do you think that I could have a Bigfoot booth at the festival?
Well, I mean, I can't promise that, but we could have outside my store. I control the sidewalk right outside my store. I could bring out all of my old, you know, Bigfoot stuff, and you could maybe rent a Bigfoot suit from the costume rental that this tiny town, of course, has. And you could tell all the tourists about Bigfoot in front of my store if the mayor won't let you have a booth.
I've rented that suit. It's disgusting. So no thank you on that. But the rest of that sounds good. But you know what, Ruby? I'm only going to do that if you'll run the booth with me.
Well, you know that Amelia has one of those weird cricket things. She could make us matching Bigfoot t-shirts.
Okay. Do we need to roll on any of this, or we can just do this?
No, the ship is floating on its own.
I think that Ruby did roll and rolled the 10. And so she also got a heartstring to another heartstring to Jack.
Okay, Ruby. Well, if it means that much to you and if we wear matching t-shirts and the mayor has to cordon off the woods under those conditions, if he agrees, I'll go.
Yeah, we have to be able to make it as far as the well. But there's still a big field beyond that, so we shouldn't be. No, none of the noise should spread. We can do the ceremony. I mean, we could end quietly. Look over there. Can I roll to look over there? Some sort of distraction. Yes. Make a move.
I think that's the take off move, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
Okay, I take off. I roll. Ooh, I roll a 12. So. I say, oh, I have to go back into the store because inventory, and I very smoothly walk back into the store, and I only charmingly bump into the doorway a tiny bit, but it's very cute because I rolled a 12.
It is adorable. Adorkable.
I actually have that as a thing, adorkable.
You do.
Wait, is that my status?
I don't think I can give you statuses. I think you give each other statuses.
Okay. Okay, but my 12 also means that Jack doesn't realize that I maybe misspoke or said more than I should, because that's my takeoff is so smooth with my 12.
Yeah, you get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't get a quirk.
You totally get out.
Do I get anything? I have way too many like PDFs open at once here. What do I get for my successful takeoff?
You get the success. It's just getting out of the situation is successful.
And a very small bruise. All right. I think that maybe it should be someone else's turn now.
I think maybe we pick up our camera and float back over to the school where we left Ellie and Amelia, probably in shock after everybody ran off on them.
Here's a question. How long has Amelia lived in this town? Did she grow up here or did she move here?
I'm going to say I grew up in this town and I left and came back to start.
Did you go to school in the big city or did you go to school just one state over?
Ooh, I went to school one state over, because if I'd gone to the big city, I might have been enchanted and never come back.
I think that Ellie and her husband lived in the big city and then they did like an early retirement. I think Ellie's in her 50s. And I think she lived in this town for like 10 or 15 years now running the store. And then I think her husband was maybe a little bit older than she was. And they like left the hubbub of the city to move to this small town. And maybe she was from here originally too. And yeah, so I think she's been there. I think he's been dead for about 5 years. So I think like it's been her like thing now for a while to run this shop. But cool. All right. I was trying to figure out how long we know each other and stuff like that. So cool. All right. I never knew you were so invested in the Solstice Festival. What's that all about?
I'm just very upset about all of our friends around us that are worried about the lack of the Solstice Festival for both their enjoyment of the Solstice Festival. Because I mean, like, you know, I grew up with it, so it was super fun. But also now that I, you know, like I'm a small business owner and have my own shop, I'm worried about if we don't have the festival, are the tourists still going to come to town without the gimmick to get them in? And how are we going to make our quotas for the year? You know, it's the beginning of the year, but like you only have so much time and you can only sell so many greeting cards to the small town worth of people, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about contacting like a publishing company and seeing if they would mass produce your cards? Because your cards are so beautiful. I love the war. I love the poetry you write for them, and just the thought you put into all of them. And I feel like the whole world should get to experience them.
Yeah, I tried that, and I got burned really bad when I tried that. I went to one of those big, like, paper product festivals, and I sunk all this money into the booth, and I sat there, and people took my card, and nobody bought anything, and it didn't make anybody want to wholesale, and it was really, really disheartening. And so now I'm just really afraid to try it again, even though I know I should. So yeah,
I'm trying to think of anything that I can do. Okay. Well, you know, I know a few people in the publishing industry because of my store, because when people come to town to do readings for books, I've made a few friends with editors and publishers. So maybe I could, I don't know, reach out to someone and tell them about you and send them some of your stuff. Only if you would consent to it. I wouldn't do it behind your back, but just, is that something you would?
Yes, you would.
Maybe I already have. I don't know. Is that something you would like to have someone do for you?
I feel like you're making a move.
Okay.
I feel like you are too.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll make a move.
You're making a move.
This does feel like that moment in You've Got Mail where like trying to make her into an editor at the kids company because her store's closed. Right. Okay, I swear I will take a picture of my dice if you don't believe me, but I rolled an 11, plus I already have, my charm is 1, so I don't know what's wrong with your dice, but this is like the...
You're winning at love is what you're winning.
Yeah. So yeah, so I get to do...
I think it sounds like the dice are making Ellie into the busybody, Cupid in this...
I mean, I think the dice are shipping Ellie and Amelia all of a sudden. I think, so I have 4 heartstrings on Amelia now. And then you get to choose.
I agree with that. I think that's a really, really nice offer. And so I'm going to take that and I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to feel less shy than this morning when you paid for my tea. And I also have not remembered you gave me that book, and I get totally distracted by the whole thing with Martin. So now I'm going to thank you, and it's going to be a really nice moment. And then I'm going to well up and be really shy again.
Aww. I think we could probably also retroactively say that you telling me what happened with your experience at that paper fair could be like an intimate moment you share with me. I think that kind of makes sense. Cool. I like that. And then like, I think that I notice that you get shy and then I kind of get shy again because I feel like I've been very bold for someone who normally is still like figuring herself, like this part of herself out. So she kind of like, oh, look, the city hall, and like very excited to like now awkwardly get out of that moment.
You have arrived at city hall.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you going to go into city hall or?
Yes. Let's go harass the mayor.
Oh yeah, because we don't know that the mayor hasn't officially decided. Yeah. We're still assuming he has. That's right.
Yes.
Well, I'll follow your lead.
You go into City Hall and you are led into the mayor's office because it is a small town. You can just talk to the mayor whenever you want. And he has this beautiful office with old books, and it's a little dusty and very ornate and beautiful. And you have Mayor Daniel Kelly. He's sitting at his desk and he just sort of like gets up to greet the two of you, who he knows by name because it is a small time town. He's like, hey, Amelia. Hey, Ellie. What is going on?
We could ask you the same question.
So we're going to call him Mayor Kelly because we're feeling very formal at the moment, even though we have perhaps shared meals with this person. And normally we're a little more buddy buddy, but we're feeling very serious about this situation. So Mayor Kelly, we heard a rumor that you're going to cancel the Winter Solstice Festival, and it's coming up really soon. And we're all deeply concerned how that's going to hurt the small businesses. It's going to hurt our little local travel industry. And also, it's a really important tradition for the kids in town, like the kids at the high school. And it just feels really wrong. It feels really wrong that you're going to do this to us. So,
Mayor Kelly, he takes a sigh and he's like, I understand. And I haven't decided to cancel it, but I am considering it because we've had, well, Jack sent me a lot of letters about Bigfoot, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. But I've also had some letters from parents of students at the high school who are a little concerned that the festival is getting to turning a little too witchy. And they're a little concerned about the witchiness of the festival and whether or not that is appropriate for young minds. And so, I don't know. I haven't canceled it yet. There might be a vote in council tomorrow about it. I think there will be. I think it's important to have that vote and see. But, you know, if anyone wants to make a case, they could show up tomorrow to tell council and convince them either way about whether or not the festival should happen.
Okay. So what you're saying is now we need to go talk to city council and remind them about all the fun times they've had at the winter solstice and how important it is to them. And also that it's going to make everybody mad at them and they won't get any good bread ever again.
No bread.
Is that a threat?
You're all on Atkins.
Everybody gets a keto diet. No bread, no nice pastries.
Mayor Daniel Kelly is very skinny and kind of gaunt. And he says I'm already on the Atkins diet.
Wow. It's like it's 2003 in here.
Well, I'll stop stocking the almond flour.
Ooh, he gets a little pale and concerned with that.
All right. So I think we should take off because we've done all we can here. We're not going to convince this mayor on our own. We've got to go bother the city council now.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm following your lead on this one.
Okay. All right, I'm going to roll. It's an 8. This is with quirk, and I have a +1 quirk. So it's a 9.
So you get out, but you're in a little bit of a huff. So you are going to cause a stir on your way out of the offices when you go past the secretary and the other offices in the building.
Yes. So we're going to be a little too loud and annoy the secretary in the mayor's office, who happens to be my grandma. And now she's frustrated with me. And so now I'm having to deal with the family situation, and I'm just trying to deal with the winter solstice. And also, oh no, she's opposed to the winter solstice festival too.
She doesn't like witches. Who wants witches?
Nope. She doesn't realize that that makes the town more interesting.
It's part of our vibrant history.
Yep.
So do you want to reconvene or do you want to skip forward to the town hall meeting?
I would like to go have a conversation with Ellie.
Okay.
So Jack makes her way to Ellie's shop because she's profoundly confused about this whole business. She's confused about Ruby and she's confused about the solstice and she's confused about her role. And somehow Ellie just seems like the font of wisdom to Jack.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little bit older, been around blocks. So I make my way to Sinfully Sweet, right? That's your place,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Ellie? Yeah. And I think it makes sense we come back here because the town hall meeting isn't happening yet. So yeah, we'll.
I want to know if you just have a few minutes to chat. I'm confused and need a little advice.
Yeah, I'm always here for that. People in town seem to love to hear what I tell me what's going on with them. So let it go. Let it rip.
Well, I just, you know, I really upset Ruby with this thing. Like, I thought she got the Bigfoot thing. I thought we were on the same page. And then I just really upset her. And then the strangest thing was, is I really cared that I upset her. I mean, usually it's, you know, me and Bigfoot and that's fine. But suddenly it really mattered to me. Like, I kind of compromised myself a little bit because it mattered to her so much. And I'm just very confused about what's going on. And I thought maybe you would have some wisdom to offer me here.
I can understand that being quite a difficult conundrum. By the way, first of all, you took a hurt earlier, right? When we did the let you have it, let it rip or whatever it was. So yeah. I have an ability on my page, which is whenever you spend time listening to someone else's struggles, they heal a hurt. So if you only have one, then you've healed it. If you have more, then I take them for you. So you no longer have them. So did you only take one hurt from that earlier?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Two? Okay. So then you have, You have none, and now I have one hurt instead because it says that they transfer the remaining hurt to you. So, like, I feel your pain now. So I'm a little hurt because I'm like, wow, this is really a rough situation. Because I don't. Okay. Well, you know, it's that I don't know if you know that the Solstice Festival is kind of tied into the town's history with, you know, we had some bad business with witch trials back, you know, in the early days, and then it became kind of a thing the town embraced as a way of healing from the past, and the Solstice Festival has really been a part of that healing. And so I think that, you know, you care about Bigfoot, and that's very admirable, and I think it's very sweet how much you care about Bigfoot, but I think that, boy, I feel really bad for Ruby, because it feels like if they're trying to cancel the Solstice Festival because it's too witchy, that's almost like an attack on her personally. And I could see why she'd be really upset by that. And boy, it really is sad, you know? She's such a nice lady. A little nosy, but nice.
See, that all makes sense to me. And I kind of get that, and I know the history of the town, but what I don't get is why I care. Like, why does it bother me that she's hurt? Like, I don't care about what anybody else feels. I'm just so confused.
Well, you obviously care a great deal about Ruby.
But I don't really care about people. You think I care about Ruby?
Kind of makes sense. I mean, you typically tend to gravitate towards mythological beings or cryptozoology? Sorry.
What? Well, I'm sure you're not saying that Bigfoot are mythological. I mean,
no,
I'm crypto... Zoologists.
I misspoke. I'm sorry.
They're just animals that we just haven't, you know, nailed down yet. That's all.
Well, that's maybe the appeal of Ruby, because she practices magic in a way, and that's something that is real but hasn't been quite nailed down yet, and maybe that's why she's intriguing to you.
You mean Ruby isn't quite nailed down for me yet?
Well, I meant more that she practices an art that tickles the same fascination that you have with cryptozoology. So maybe that's part of why she appeals to you.
So Ruby tickles me a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's up to the two of you. That's not really my business.
I do not know what you're talking about. I'm so confused.
I just think that maybe sometimes certain people have just an appeal to you that you don't really understand it. And it's that... not knowing that's kind of part of the fun, right? And it's intriguing, you know? Like, you're a biologist, right? You know how people tick, and maybe most people bore you because you've got them all figured out, but there's something about Ruby that is just a little beyond what you understand, and that pulls you towards it. It's like...
Wait, am I Bigfoot?
Don't give the big reveal!
It's sort of like, I don't know, like, maybe if you knew someone who was like, I don't know, like a writer or an artist, and you thought there was something about their work that made you think about them constantly, and you really didn't know why, but maybe it's like that. I don't know.
So are you saying I should get to know Ruby better?
I think you should. I think Ruby would like it.
Huh. You think Ruby would like it?
I think so. I think both of you would.
Huh. I've never really gotten to know people before. Okay. Well, I mean... Bigfooter people, but, you know, people that I actually can talk to. I've never really gotten to know them before.
Maybe okay. you should invite Ruby to go out in the woods with you looking for Bigfoot sometime.
Well, I did, but she had inventory to do.
Oh, well, try again another time.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for this advice. I really appreciate it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll think about it. Never... wanted to get to know anybody before, so I'll have to think about that. Meanwhile, I have test grade, so I need to get out, right? I do a get out, take off, because I'm over this conversation. This is much too uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah. If you're uncomfortable, then yeah, take off would be a...
Yeah, I'm much too uncomfortable about the fact that maybe I want to get to know people. I want to get to know someone. I roll with quirk. That would be a 6, I think. So I got 9... and my quirk is 2, so that's 11. So I am out of there with no mishap.
Nice.
Thank you.
You are just slide right out.
I'm good at getting out. So I'm out, and I'm heading back to my apartment because I got papers to grade. And I got to go back out to Bigfoot tonight.
Ellie, are you going to do anything with this information, or are Amelia and Ellie going to do anything with their knowledge of the town council?
The town council is more Amelia's thing that Ellie is kind of tagging along with, like, because she likes to be around Amelia. So I think once this is done, I think before I go over to Amelia's, I'm going to go over to Ruby's Jewels and Treasures and talk to Ruby.
For no particular reason.
Well, matchmaker. Yeah.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
I think that's part of my... No, it's not. Okay. Big...
It isn't, but it is makes now. Sense.
Catch me a catch.
So I kind of like, you know, I think you probably hear the bell jingle as I come into your shop.
Oh, hi, Ellie. I'm sorry I stormed off before. I just got upset. But Jack and I talked a little bit, and I think maybe we found a way to solve everything without having to cancel anything. Because apparently the mayor hadn't decided to do that.
Oh no, actually, the mayor is having a meeting tonight with town council to vote on it. I'm gonna go with Amelia, and we're gonna try to convince them not to.
Should we have some sort of little, like, meeting beforehand so that we can get all of our arguments in line?
I think I just realized that Ellie might not want Ruby to go to the meeting because she's afraid she'll get her feelings hurt if she finds out that people are anti-witch.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll say, actually, you know what I think you should do? Is that I think that Jack was actually going to go out in the woods tonight to look for Bigfoot. And I know that you two had your little bit of an argument earlier, and maybe you could surprise her by joining her on her little trip to the woods.
I guess that could be a good apology. I lean over conspiratorially. I really don't care about Bigfoot that much. And it's kind of cold and wet out there. But I could make some adult hot chocolate.
I'm gonna make a move. And when you say that, I'm going to lean forward and go, but you do care about Jack, right? Okay, finally, I did not roll the best. I didn't roll terribly.
Oh, it's like your dice.
Well, I didn't do ship. No, my dice do. I guess I only got an 8 instead of like a massive good roll. So I got one of the two. So I don't get a heartstring on you. So you get to choose one of the reactions. But you care about Jack, right?
No, I give you a heartstring. And I try to set my hand down on my counter to give myself a little time to respond, but I miss the counter and sort of stumble over and try to make it look like I was getting something from underneath the counter. And I go, I care about everyone in this town. You know, we have to work together. That's all, I think. I mean, I know that's I care about everyone. You know, it's important to work together.
Okay, I'm not going to do a move. I'm just going to do a takeoff, but I'm just going to say, well, sometimes when people really matter to us, sometimes the things that matter to them can be fun for us to do, even if they're not something we're particularly into. And then I'm going to do a takeoff to try to see if I can, I feel like I just gave this like sage advice, and I'm going to try to like walk out gracefully, and we'll see if it plays out. So I roll with quirk. My quirk is +2, so that's good. Oh, finally! Okay, finally. I rolled a 3 out of 5. So I failed. So I didn't get to do either of them. I don't know what happens on a failure on this, but I get an experience. That's true. But
I think that you try to leave, but what's going to happen to you?
Oh, wait. Do I get to choose one of these things, Willow, or do I?
Yes, you get to choose.
Okay. I think this is perfect. So I leave, actually forget something. And what I forget is the card that I bought at Amelia's shop that is not, it's not, I haven't written anything in it yet, but it's definitely the card. Like, we had a conversation earlier about like friendship and things like that. So I leave that card by accident. Like I had set it down while I was talking. And so.
And I pick it up and look on the front, and because I understand a lot about sort of, you know, the language of graphics and flowers, it makes me look kind of wistfully out the window and then back at the card and then again out the window, where I see Amelia walking back to the greeting card shop.
Our camera pans out with Ellie walking towards Nice to Greet Ya and Ruby watching her thoughtfully through the window. And with that, dear listeners, we leave Hopewell Springs for now as we thoughtfully ponder What is up with that well, Ruby? Can things be too witchy? Will we ever see Bigfoot? And will someone finally kiss someone else? For answers to questions such as these, join us again soon. Next time, we will be starting a whole new romantic adventure that is warmer in winter, just so we can leave you with not one, but two romantic cliffhangers. Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of the Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.